Good evening. Welcome to Digging Deeper on this Saturday evening in December, the second Saturday in December. And last week, God spoke to us about a timeless name. And tonight, God is going to speak to us about a powerful name. In Isaiah, the 9th chapter, in the 6th verse, we read, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Last week we talked about the Everlasting Father, and tonight we're going to talk about a Mighty God. Family and friends, this series of messages are founded on the prophetical prophecy of Isaiah. And the names given to describe the coming Messiah hold great meaning for us. God not only had a timeless name, but God also has a powerful name. Listen, in the world in which we live, it takes strength to live life. And none of us has the strength that it takes, so we need a powerful name upon which we can call. We need someone on whom we can call to give us the strength for life's tough situations. You know, as a child, I used to watch the cartoon Underdog. And when folks found themselves in a tough place, they would call for him. And when he arrived, he'd proclaim, "Never fear, for Underdog is here." And then he'd make everything all right in their world again. And it gave them confidence. And it gave them assurance in that cartoon to call upon Underdog. Well, in real life, we too need someone whom we can call upon who will set our world right. And that's the great good news that I have to share with you this evening, because there is someone. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is he who has the most powerful name in all the world. For according unto Isaiah, he is our mighty God. Listen, in a world where heroes are often determined by their athletic prowess or their financial power, we're told in this verse that the only one truly worthy to be adored is the one whose might is unparalleled. Isaiah, the 10th chapter, the 21st verse, Isaiah describes him as a refuge of the remnant. And in Deuteronomy 10 and 17, Moses declared that he is the just God, mighty and awesome. And David described him as his strength, his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his mountain where he seeks refuge, his shield, the horn of his salvation, and his stronghold. Oh, friends. Could you use someone like that today? In a world gone mad, do we need a powerful name upon whom we can call? Someone to make sense? Someone to give us the strength? Someone to give us the encouragement? Someone who can be our hope and our stay? Oh, you better believe we do. I say this again, the greatest need that you have and the greatest need that I have on a continual basis is the need for revival. And some of us recognize that. Some of us understand that every morning when we get up, we've got to call upon the name that stands above every name. That we've got to get in His Word, and we've got to get our spiritual meat for that day, that we might be able to be a blessing to someone. that we might be able to also receive his blessing. Oh, how we need him today. Sin and evil has so overtaken our world, and we have become so conditioned to it. Is it any wonder that we're in such desperate need of revival? There are many who wonder why preachers like me keep speaking about revival as the greatest need we have. But friend, just think about your life. Do you have all the hope that you need? Do you have all the strength that you need? Do you have all the assurance and security that you need? We need him. We need him more every day. Sin and evil have so overtaken our world, and we've become so conditioned to it, that those outside the body of Christ and even many inside the body of Christ don't recognize the layers of compromise in their lives. And so rather than casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ, many today are doing exactly the opposite. It seems as if we have placed every high-minded thing before God. And the result is we're not growing in the knowledge of God. Many claim that they know God, but their lifestyle proves they know very little about God. Dear friend, the question isn't whether we know God. That's never been the question. The question is, does God know us? When the prophet Isaiah anticipated in the 7th century B.C. the coming of Christ, the New Testament confirms, because the Messiah Isaiah was talking about would be filled with God's power. Listen, it is one thing to have the power of God. It is quite another to be the God of power. And yet, that is exactly how Scripture describes the one in swaddling clothes who is lying in a manger. Scripture says in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 and through verse 3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." That, friend, is a demonstration of what it means to be the God of power. Everything that you see that was created by him. Isaiah gave a further demonstration of what his power would be like when he prophesied, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, and the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And oh, how we need this magnificent God who has this powerful name in our lives and in our world today. Because we have those who are poor in spirit. We have those who need to hear good tidings. We have those who are brokenhearted. We have those who are suffering from the consequences of poor judgment, past mistakes, and they're living a hopeless existence because they do not see anybody on their horizon who could give them the hope that they care and they understand. But God knows, and God cares, and God loves you, and God wants to give you the hope that you need tonight. Friends, there are those in our world who are held captive to this world, and they need to hear the news of liberty. You may be listening tonight, and you're on a bar stool somewhere. Maybe you're in jail somewhere. Maybe right now you're listening to this in a drug-fogged haze. I pray the message gets through. You need liberty, not bondage. That's what the world is giving you. Bondage. You're in bondage to the world, but Jesus came that he might set you free. You see, there are those who are caught up in addiction, bad habits, poor choices, wrong relationships, and held just as if you were in prison. And there are those who mourn, maybe from the loss of a loved one due to the pandemic. It may be from a broken relationship or a broken marriage or the loss of a job, the trials of rebellious choices, or the death of a loved one, as I've mentioned. And you need to be comforted. Is God speaking to you tonight? There are those in this world who have swore so into the materialism of this world. And as a result, you're living a life in spiritual ashes. The things you think you own, if truth be told, they own you. And all of you are living with a spirit of heaviness upon you. Discouragement. Depression in some cases. Without hope. In need of revival. As you look at your life, as you look at your circumstances, wherever you may be tonight, no matter how successful you think you may be, do you have all the answers to every problem you're ever going to face? Do you know it all? Can you see, friend? Would you agree, friend, that only a mighty God can rescue and revive such as us? We're all in need of Jesus. Only a mighty God can console all those we've mentioned. Only God can console you. And only God can place on you His garment of praise. This same Jesus, the prophet Isaiah spoke about 700 years before he was born. This Jesus is the one who walked into the Jewish synagogue. And he opened the scroll to this passage here in Isaiah, Isaiah 61, 1-3, and proclaimed that he was the fulfillment of this prophecy. The babe lying in the manger at Christmas was given unto us, given unto men to be our mighty God. And so I submit for your thinking tonight that one greater than underdog is here. He is mighty, mighty God. By his perfect life, by his mighty works, by his sacrificial death, and by his resurrection, he has proven, shown beyond doubt that he is our mighty God. He has conquered death and hell. This same Jesus is the one in whom we can trust. And so, family and friends, I say to you during this time of year, why be poor in spirit when strength for you can be found in Him? Why remain brokenhearted when healing is available in Him? Why be held captive by the false philosophies of this world when liberty is available? Why stay chained to the prison of foolish choices and suffer from the consequences of despair when the one who holds the keys can open your prison door? Why mourn when there is comfort to be found in Him? Why remain in the ashes when the beauty of Christ can be yours? Why continue to live in the spirit of heaviness when the garment of praise can be placed upon you, can be worn, and flow from your lips? Listen to me. The Bible declares in John 1 and 12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to them who believe in His Word. The answer to all this madness that the world offers is to turn and to call upon the mighty God. Family and friends, there is a day of vengeance coming. The Bible talks about it. When the wrath of God will be revealed from heaven against all who live according to the vanity of their own mind. And you are poor because you do not have what it takes. You are poor because you do not have what is necessary. You are poor if you do not receive Him who came to save. Why remain poor when you can repent, when you can say, I need you? Why remain poor when you can repent and turn to Him and call upon that wonderful name, that name that stands above every name, the name of Jesus? Be saved. Why remain poor, sitting on an ash heap of your own making, when Christ promises to replace that with the oil of joy? Oh, how you need Him tonight. If you remain outside, you refuse to repent, there is coming a day of judgment, and you're going to lack what is necessary to enter into heaven. But I want you to note what Isaiah prophesied and Jesus declared. Today is the acceptable year of the Lord. Today, right now, tonight, for you, is the day of salvation. The day when you can repent, when you can call upon God, when you might cry out, oh Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me, come into my life, and be my Lord and my Savior. Oh Lord, take this old man with its old habits and its old ways and make me a new man. Give me a new hope. Create in me a clean and a pure heart. And I want to tell you, friend, He'll do it for you. He loves you. He'll do it for you. Remember what the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. That means that right now, through praying that prayer of repentance, you can remove yourself from the poorhouse right on into the penthouse of heaven. You can be blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in heaven tonight by simply repenting of your sin and believing that this mighty God has the power to wash away all your sin. And friend, not only would you be free at last, you would be clean at last. If I'm talking to you tonight and you're somewhere in a drug-fogged haze, you're somewhere in a drunken stupor, and yet this message is getting through, what would it mean to you to put the bottle down, to put the drug or the needle away, and to be clean, to be free, to be healed? And He can do that for you. What would it mean for you not to have to endure the guilty stains any longer? His blood, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so tonight for you is the time and the need for you to call upon the mighty God. But what if you're a Christian? And somewhere in your walk with Christ, it just got away from you. In a weak moment, the tempter came, and he deceived you. And now you feel as if your witness, your testimony, your life has been destroyed, and that can happen because the Bible says your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you became one of those whom he devoured. And now you're suffering the consequences of your sins. And for others, their reason was weakened because they stopped feeding on the truth that is found in God's Word. And like the children of Israel in the wilderness, your conscience is not as tender as it once was. And now your sense of the power of God to overcome your situation has become obscured. You've let your joy for God, for His Word, and for His church go simply because you chose to allow the authority of your body to overcome your reasoning, and as a result, life no longer contains the joy that it once did. And how can it, friend, when you're living on the ash heap of regret and what if? Oh, to get back the love and feeling of joy in Jesus. What would it mean for you tonight? Can you begin to imagine it? Can you begin to put it into words? What would it mean for you to step and to stop living in mourning over the what ifs and regret? What would it mean if you could stop pining over what once was and asking if it could be or wishing if it could be that way again? Because in Him you have hope. When you repent, it can be that way again. It can be better. Oh, friend, remember what Isaiah said. What Isaiah prophesied and Jesus declared. He said He will give you the oil of joy for mourning. Means He's going to replace it. There's no sin too great that He can't forgive you from. All it takes is for you to be willing to repent and to turn to Him again. And He will replace the spirit of heaviness with a garment of praise. He is our mighty God, greater than underdog, and able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask, hope, or think. He is the rock to which we can cling. Listen, no matter where you are tonight, you need to know, you do not need to fear. And all is not lost. There is hope in Jesus. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so it starts with confession and repentance. And through genuine repentance, turning away from your sin and turning to the mighty God, God promises you the oil of joy and the garment of praise will be placed upon you. He is a mighty God. He's able to do it. His word said so. Not only do we need a timeless name to call upon as we walk in this world, we also need a powerful name on whom we can call. He is our mighty God, and only a mighty God can revive your soul. Father, tonight as we pray, Lord, we pray for people right where they're at, living in the world just as they are. And we pray, Father, for their salvation tonight. We pray for that brother or sister who's down on their luck, who's without hope and in need of encouragement. Father, we have a mighty God, a God who loves us, a God who cares for us. And I pray, Father, that they will turn to you tonight and call upon that name. And I pray for that brother and sister in Christ who walked away at a time and their reasoning became shortened. Oh, Lord, you can save them tonight. Bless them abundantly more than they could ask or hope. Help them to turn to Jesus tonight. In God's name we pray. Amen.